Let's cut the bullshit. We've got straight up marketing advice. You should use it.
Just drop the job.
Adam and Simon's Bullshit Busters.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the next episode of Adam and Simon Bullshit Busters. I'm Simon Batchelor.
I'm Adam Bastock.
And this week we are going to be discussing what has happened to Clubhouse. So unless you've been living under an internet rock, you will be aware of Clubhouse, the audio social network. So Adam, do you just want to give us a little bit more info about what is and what was Clubhouse, the app?
Yeah, I think it's hard to get the terminology right because it has just disappeared and it seemed like it came onto the scene in a blip, in a fury of activity. So Clubhouse was an app that was more around live interactive audio sessions, I guess. So you would be able to join a room with some of your favourite influencers or key person of influence, listen to them talk and get involved in the conversation directly with them. I think that was a broad premise of it. So rather than being something that you only consume, which is like a podcast, you were able to give something back or feel a bit more involved with it. With everyone stuck at home over lockdown, it became very popular because they were just, people were bored out of their minds. But since then, and since the outdoors world came a thing again, I think its popularity has waned slightly and its novelty wore off. And I think that's the key thing, at least from my point of view, is it was a novelty. It didn't really answer any particular problems or it didn't, provide a solution to a problem. It was just a...
It was a solution looking for a problem.
Yeah, exactly. It was interesting, but it wasn't doing the washing up or anything like that. It wasn't particularly solving a need. But it looks like, I think what we were discussing before was that Spotify has been doing something interesting.
Yes.
That might be a little bit more practical, functional, interesting. Yeah.
Well, I think before we jump onto that bit, so Clubhouse, in essence, was on Apple devices only, or iOS devices.
Yes.
So the thing is, what they did is they made this massive hype around, we are on iOS, and we've got all these famous people on, and you can join this conversation, you can listen in, and then people could invite you onto the stage. And very quickly, it filled up, and people were there, and turning up regularly, and it was all fun. It was quite exciting and a bit novel. And then I think the novelty, as you say, wore off and the outside started to open up a bit. And then it was a case of, well, I could sit in my living room and listen to some people waffle on about something. But ultimately, because you can't really use it on the move because you need a data connection because it's live streaming. And it doesn't need much of a data stream. But anybody who's tried to listen to audio live streamed on the move on a phone in the UK in particular will know that, mobile data coverage is okay in cities, but only okay in big cities. Other than that, you've got to be, stood still with your phone in the air at the end of the garden to do that. So I think beyond Wi-Fi connection, the actual ability of people to connect into rooms was fairly limited. And then I think what really compounded that was the completely bizarre reason that they didn't launch an Android app version, which locked out 4/5 of the mobile user base globally, which is a staggeringly large amount of people who just couldn't get in, even if they wanted to. Because if you've got a Mac computer, you still couldn't install it. We're literally talking phones or iPads. So you couldn't even get in by having an Apple computer. And there's no desktop version. And I believe that they have now launched an Android version, but probably 5 months too late.
Yeah.
I think had they have grown that audience quicker earlier on and enabled Android users to get in, they might have saved the day. But to be honest, it was the most downloaded iOS app for a number of weeks, for a number of months. But now, it doesn't even make the top 50 on the App Store anymore. So I think the novelty is completely worn off. So I think some people might be at this point of the podcast saying, well, why are you talking about it? Why are we even here dissecting the remains of Clubhouse? Well, the thing is, a lot of people, I think, on Clubhouse, particularly us as podcast producers ourselves, we contemplated for a minute of just like, well, we could have a Clubhouse room running and then do like the podcast and people could ask questions and we could have it on the podcast. That'd be great, right? Well, no, A, for the fact Adam doesn't have an iOS device, and B, for the fact you can't record in Clubhouse. So immediately, they kind of separated themselves from podcasters. So the other big companies obviously saw this rapid growth of audio, and Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, and Spotify have all launched other audio-only rooms. And the thing they all have over Clubhouse is they've got an existing audience.
Yeah.
Whereas Clubhouse has a very small audience, and because it excluded 4/5 of the global phone market, actually doesn't have a big enough audience to compete with Twitter. Because if I've got a choice of two things, join my Clubhouse room, and then everyone goes, oh, well, I can't get Clubhouse. You're like, oh, actually, you can. They're like, meh, can't be asked. Versus on Twitter, I just add Twitter users to a conversation and we're talking. Which are you going to do?
So it's just that access is easier. And also, I think that's because, as you say, I never joined Clubhouse because I physically couldn't, and wasn't going to try and buy an iPad or whatever to try and join it. So, yeah, it's going to be exciting to see what these other larger companies that have got existing audiences do. I mean, in Twitter's, I'm not too sure on what their offering is, but you know, they basically had, they had Vine years ago and killed it off, and then TikTok came along 2 years later and took off. So, yeah, not the best example of companies, perhaps. But yeah,
well, I think the Twitter one is called Twitter Spaces, and it's just where you can, right. You literally just open a space, and then you can invite other Twitter users to join. But you can tweet the Shout conversation along. So you can tweet and talk.
Yeah.
So it's fair enough, because people can join in without needing to listen, and they don't need to speak. So it's an interesting space. And I think Twitter is used by some rather marginalised voices in the media and news space. Yeah. So actually some of the conversations that are having through spaces are probably really cutting edge and potentially quite divisive, where they wouldn't be happening on other platforms. So I think there's some really interesting stuff there happening.
Sorry, can you record on Twitter, or is that live only?
I don't think you can. And again, I think that is one of the attractions of it, is that you're not going to be, unlike Twitter, you're not going to have Spaces conversations dragged up from years ago. And I guess the disposable nature of those sorts of conversations is one of the drawing points to it. Obviously, Facebook Messenger already had Facebook Rooms, or Messenger Rooms, where you could get people together, like WhatsApp groups, for example. I mean, it wouldn't take much for either WhatsApp or Facebook just to add a, you know, go live with audio at the top of the app, and boom, you'd have exactly the same functionality as Clubhouse. But I think really for podcasters, what's really interesting, so there was Anchor FM, which was a large podcast hosting platform. And if you're listening to our podcast, that's where you're receiving our podcast from. Now, that was acquired by Spotify a few months ago. And what Spotify did is they threw their development team at Anchor. And I think Anchor have rolled out more features since Spotify have owned them than all of the time we've been on Anchor and before then. It's really grown hugely since. But what they've done is they've acquired an app called Green Room. And that essentially allows you to have a podcast with an audience.
Yeah.
So you can get your audience to essentially join the conversation in the app Green Room. So I don't think you do it through Spotify yet. I think that will come. Currently, you have to have the Green Room app. But, you know, that's not a huge jump. I guess it's a similar jump to Clubhouse, but they do have an Android version, so it's very accessible. But I think all of that functionality will eventually just roll into the Spotify app.
I think it makes it much more interesting, because you can almost have the mini impromptu conferences where you just get a bunch of people in a room and have a Q&A session, and it's a bit more... it's semi-formal rather than being as formal as an actual webinar would be, but it's not as informal as something like Twitter Spaces, where it's not recorded and it's very transient. Same with Clubhouse. So yeah, I'm interested in it. I know you sent it to me the other day, and I was looking at it and I didn't quite get it. But then I thought about it for a while. I was like, oh, I see. So you could do a podcast, and then you record it, and then you get people involved. And
yeah.
I started connecting the dots of just going, well, actually, this has been quite useful for a few conversations I've had where people have had questions afterwards but not necessarily wanted to talk quite as much as they would have done on something else, like an actual webinar where it's a bit more video-based and therefore they don't want to speak up, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, it does sit in the market nicely, and it's quite interesting, and I'm keen to explore it more.
Well, yeah, and I think also, because obviously webinars are... as you say, very formal in the sense that it is like a presentation, there's that expectation, whereas actually can flip, you know, if you flip that around to the podcast discussion, they're often a lot more informal, a bit more chatty, a bit more like sort of a radio show, if you will. And, you know, actually then bringing in people to ask questions and allowing people to just to have a conversation almost, you know, with two or three people in the audience, maybe, you know, there's lots of different options there. I guess it is like doing it live in a theatre where you would have the ability to have audience interaction. So I think it definitely adds another element to podcasts. I don't think everyone would be using it every time. I think being able to draw an audience to every podcast recording would probably become a fairly full-on task. Mm. But even if you did like one a month or one a season where it was a Q&A episode, you know, there's definitely things you could do. But I think it's interesting that Spotify were the first to see the potential in the market.
Especially with some of that big podcasts, thinking of like Off Menu, where, you know, they've got hundreds of thousands of followers and it's a very interactive, it's quite a casual conversation anyway that they have. So rather than doing live events, which they, you know, probably can't do yet, they could do a live Q&A session where it's a bit more interactive with their, you know, their fans. So
yeah.
It'd be interesting to see where it goes.
Well, and I think also because you would be listening to the podcast live.
Yeah.
So you don't have to wait weeks for it to come out is the other thing. I think that is the key to the conversation. So if you've got a timely conversation, you know, it might take you an hour or so after that conversation to put that podcast out, or it might take you a week, or in your podcast schedule, that might be, oh, this episode doesn't actually come out for 3 months. I mean, I've been to see Richard Herring's Leicester Theatre podcast, Rohirlestapur, of course. And of course, when you get there, it's like, that doesn't come out for potentially 6 months. Yeah. But we saw it live as the audience and it feels cool. You're like, yeah, I saw that. It was good fun. There was other stuff that went on. It didn't quite make the edit. And there was that conversation they had. And there's his whole Prince Philip story that gets bleeped every single time. But if you've ever been there live, it's amazing because he genuinely couldn't say that story on the podcast. And it's that thing, you get this live element that you don't get once they chop it down and turn it into an episode. So there's all of that amazing, fun stuff that could happen in the live setting that you then chop up and make into your podcast later on.
Yeah. It's good. I need to think about it. I need to look at it a bit more because it does seem to, sticking with the small 99 stuff that I'm doing, where there's a lot more questions that people will have when I'm discussing topics that, because it's a newer industry rather than SEO, where people are probably, they've got a bit more well-formed education. So they know it's fairly predictable questions.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be slightly more. You do find yourself where people are like, "Oh, what about this?" or "What about this?"
Yeah.
In a way that you wouldn't normally have. So I think there's a lot more opportunity there for it.
Yeah,
to be a bit more interactive. It's good. I'm excited for it.
Excellent. Well, we shall have to give it a go at some point in an episode in the future, as soon as we can.
Absolutely.
Get it hooked up and linked up to this. We'll have to do a live Q&A session at some point down the road. So do let us know if you are still on Clubhouse and absolutely loving it. Do get in touch and tell us what on earth is going on in there that makes it so amazing. We'd love to know. Should we in fact jump on and come back? We're willing to hear otherwise. If however you've also given up on it, what have you moved to? Are you now just listening to more podcasts? Do let us know. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Just drop the job. Alan Simon's Bullshit Busters.